Maybe you've never experienced this, but I know what it feels like to be stuck in your own head. Anybody know what I mean by that? You think yourself into a corner. You're a prisoner in your own mind. I'm going to tell you how to get out of your own mind this morning, because here's the reason. I think many of us are stuck because our minds have adopted a pattern of thinking that gets us nowhere. It's not that we don't have potential, but it's the way we think, and we think ourselves out of our destiny.
Oh, yes.
We have plenty of dreams, but we're frustrated because we lack progress. There's nothing worse than to sit there and to watch life pass you by. And we are frustrated because we are stuck in our own head and we are left to fight our own thoughts. And we think ourselves under a tree like Elijah and instead of into our destiny. I know all too well what this means, and we all respond differently. When I think myself into a corner, I almost go into a state of depression. There was a car that we had, and it moved into a fail-safe mode. And when it moved into that mode, no matter how much you hit the accelerator, it couldn't go faster than what it was going right then. For me, I go into that shutdown mode. For some of you, you get hyperactive. You go all over the place when you go inside your head. But I want to use a scripture this morning. It's a guy by the name of Elijah. And Elijah was an incredible prophet. And I'm going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you want to turn there. It's going to be on your screen. But in 1 Kings 18, Elijah was so bold that he took on, I think it was 450 prophets of Baal on a mountain called Mount Carmel. And he said, we're going to see which God is real. He said, if you all's God Baal is real, he said, y'all going to set an altar there, and Baal's going to be able to cause that altar to catch fire. And he said, but if God is real, you know God will show himself strong. And there are people who are tempting you in your jobs and tempting you in every part of your life, but God will show up. Elijah was not just your ordinary prophet. He had a bunch of courage. He was almost cocky with it. And he said, listen, not only is my God going to set fire to this altar, but I want you to dig a trench and pour water on it. Water and fire don't mix, right? He called down fire from heaven. And in chapter 18, this same man took on 450 prophets. We pick up in 1 Kings 19. I'm just giving you the backdrop before I read it. This same man who took on 450 prophets got one word from a lady who sent word by a guy named Ahab that said, we're going to take your life. And he ran and found himself under a juniper tree. What happens when we get stuck in our head? One of the first things that happens when you get stuck in your head is you never know which you is going to show up. You all right in here? Anybody ever been drunk before? You're like, I don't know if I should I raise my hands? People are drunk. Look different than when people smoke weed, they mellow out. When people get drunk, people get angry. They want to fight everybody. Some people just turn into they want to love everybody, hug on everybody, kiss. Y'all come on, it's all right. Kiss on everybody. Wake up, I don't know how I got here. Some people just get solemn and start crying. What are you crying for? People laugh at everything when they're drunk. You just never know which person's going to show up. But when you are stuck in your head, you're almost drunk in your own thoughts. Because we never know which you is going to show up. And this was this guy, and I know what it feels like. I've been there. 1 Kings 19, it's on the screen, verse 1. It said, now Ahab told Jezebel. Jezebel was who? Ahab was apparently reporting to, and all that Elijah had done and how he killed the prophets. Not only did he make an open show of the prophets, but he killed them when he got finished. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she threatened to kill him. She put a hit out on his life. Verse 3 says, and he was afraid and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And it said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Here's what happens. The first thing is you never know which you is going to show up. You can go from coward to courageous in the same moment because you're in your own heads. In one moment, he was fine. But then the next moment, he got stuck. And when you are stuck in your head, you undermine your potential. Look at what happened to him. He heard a word that he was going to die. He took it personal. He was doing God's work, but he took the attack personal. And instead of rolling out on God's ability, he put it on his own, and he took off running. He was courageous when he was going in the name of God, but he was cowardly when he went in his own name. Can I encourage you to always go in the name of God through his son Jesus so the real authentic you always shows up? Can I tell you the next thing that happens when you're in your head? Not only do we not know who's going to show up, you would justify quitting. He ran and hid and was up under a juniper tree. You justify quitting because you need to quit because you're afraid and you don't want to face what's in front of you. Let me tell you what happens when you get overwhelmed and you get thoughts in your head. Remember I told you about my dad drove up my sophomore year of college and they cut me off and they gave me my last $200. They didn't really cut me off, but they told me I need to grow up. Here's what happened is I had to start cutting hair. I start cutting so much hair that I had dreams that everybody had afros. I was walking on campus and there wasn't leaves, there was just hair everywhere. I would go and shake people's hand and they had afros growing off their fingertips. Hair just growing. One dude had dreads growing out his nose. I mean, I was consumed with hair and I said, I'm going to quit. In my mind, quitting would not solve my problems because that was what was putting money in my pocket. When you are in your own head, you will start to dread the very thing you're called to. Not because you're not called to it, but because you don't know how to handle it. Do you know why I was overwhelmed? Because I was that dude that couldn't say no. If somebody was walking from the library and they saw my light on 11 o'clock at night, they knew I wasn't cutting hair. They would knock on my door and say, hey, Jay, you up? Can you cut my hair? And because I wanted to get paid, I cut their hair. But after a while, I got overwhelmed. I had a time problem, not a head-cutting problem. And many of us quit for the wrong reason. Not because you're not called to it, but because you're not organizing where you are and all of your energy is going all over the place. So you begin to justify because you get stuck in your head and you quit. Here's what I learned about God. God has a plan and I get to participate. I don't create the plan. I dream within God's plan. Here's the thing. If I decide that I'm not going to do what God wants to do, I'm not going to stop his plan. God is going to execute his plan with or without me, but he would rather do it with me. And my quitting doesn't end God's plan. So if God's plan is not going to end, I'm going to say, God, I need strength so that I can do what you call me to do so I can get out of my head. Many of you in here are in a place of promise. And Satan is trying to frustrate you out of that place with people around you who do crazy stuff. Your situation is not ideal, and God's called you to that place, and Satan's trying to talk you out of it in your head. But you are the answer for that situation. And as a result of you being there, you're going to bring order to chaos, and God's going to use you. But don't you quit, because God is able. Amen. You know what else you do when you're in your head? You isolate yourself. 1 Kings 19:9 says this, then he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, what are you doing here? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets. And I alone am left to take it away. He has pulled away from everybody. And he said, God, I am alone. Here's the challenge I have with his statement. Number one, people didn't leave him. He left people. Matter of fact, if you read the scripture, he was on the journey and told his servant to stay. He said, I'm going to go to own by myself. Many of us are not alone. We're lonely. Can I say that right there? Because you're in the middle of a crowd and you can be lonely because you have not connected with people. So what Elijah did is he disconnected himself because he was so consumed with what he was going through. Number two, he was afraid. He didn't have a problem that God could not solve. What he did is he took the onus on himself to take care of himself when God had already shown what he was going to do, and he isolated himself and secluded himself from the power of God. Whenever you pull away, you disconnect from people and from the power of God, and the very thing you need, you run from it. Yes. And you run to the very thing that you don't need to be around. The worst thing, the place to be, is in a place of fear, is in left alone with your thoughts. Your thoughts will tell you all kind of crazy stuff, and you'll be all over the place. You know what else happens when we are left alone to our own thoughts, we're in our own mind? You're judgmental. He said this in verse 14. It's on the screen. I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Now, that sounds very noble. God, I'm the only one out here living right. Everybody else is living in the way they want to live, and I'm serving you, and here I'm stuck up under this tree. That's the problem. When you are isolated to your own thoughts, you stop living and you start judging those who are living. And you never stop to think, they're living and I'm sitting up under this tree. You ever stop to think that while people are judging you and what you have going on in your life, who's living theirs? If you have time to critique what somebody else is doing, who has time to focus on your life? You become extremely judgmental. I've seen pastors who do it. And I told God, I never want to get in this place. I've seen pastors whose churches are not growing. And they've seen other churches whose churches are flourishing. And they say stuff like, they don't want to live holy over there. That's why all them people gravitating to that place, right? It's just a show. They put on this show and people want to be entertained. No, you just upset because you sitting there preaching to the same five people week in and week out. So you start judging because of your lack of success. When the reality is you need to look and say, why am I sitting under this tree? You all right in here? In your life, you start, why did they get promoted and I didn't get promoted? Why is that happening for them and not happening for me? Instead of being judgmental, start to look at yourself. Why am I sitting up under this tree? Can I show you how to get out of your head? You all right in here? Here's the first step to get out of your head. You need power. You are not stuck in your head because of a lack of passion. Matter of fact, passion is what drove you to think. But with passion, without power, purpose, plan, and people, and peace would leave you in a horrible place. Let me tell you the first thing you need. You need power. Verse 5 says this. You need the power in times of, in terms of words. Verse 5 says this. He says, he laid down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread and a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and says, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. What kind of food was that? I get hungry about 2 hours after I eat. He went in the strength of one meal, 40. Man, you know how much weight you can lose? You don't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. He went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. Here's the first thing that you need. You need powerful words. Many times when you are stuck in your head, the worst thing you need is the voice of sympathy. Many people will come to you. I understand why you're there. I understand what life is. I go through hard stuff too. And people will allow you to stay stuck. But how many times when you have been stuck, you don't like it, has somebody finally come to you and inspired you with their words and questioned why you are sitting there? Instead of saying, oh, I don't understand, I'd quit too if I was you. No, you got too much in you to quit.
All right.
You prayed for this moment. You believe God for this moment. How dare you let stuff shut you down in a moment when you're stuck in your head? You need somebody with powerful words that can come into your life and speak a word of God into your spirit. Your mind may not get it. Your flesh might not receive it. But has anybody ever been listening to a song, or you heard a motivational speech, or you came in here on Sunday morning, or somebody sent you a text, and just when you were about to quit, just when you were about to throw in the towel, there was a word that came through that wouldn't let you settle where you are, that said, I wasn't designed to quit. I wasn't designed to just shut down. I was meant to conquer this moment. Here is the challenge where I believe many of us stay stuck in our head. We are the lack of people who challenge our mediocrity. And they allow us to quit in moments when we need to push forward. I know you don't want to hear it. At my lowest moments, Barbara always comes with this great speech. Jason, you can do it. I don't want to hear no I have a dream speech. I don't want to hear no script. There you go, that Bible again. I preach the Bible. And here she is quoting it to me. I'm shut down. But that is the very thing that I need to hear. Do you know what I need to hear? I want to hear in that moment, I want somebody to get on my side. I want somebody to co-sign with me being in my feelings. I've been in tough spots before. There was a brother on my job that I thought he was the same hue of skin as me. And I thought if anybody would be on my side, it would be him. He gave me the hardest time in the world. And I went to my dad and I said, Daddy, this man on my job is giving me a hard time. And I wanted Daddy to put on all black and we're going to show up at work one day and show this dude. And Daddy said, why would somebody just arbitrarily not like you, Jason? That's the last thing I wanted to hear. But it made me think, why would somebody just not like me? I was playing the victim, but he wouldn't let me be the victim. You need people in your life that have powerful words. They won't let you play the victim. They'll speak to your potential. They won't speak to you shutting down. They won't speak to you settling. But they say, I know life is rough, but you are the answer for that situation, and I need you to show up. So Elijah was challenged by the right voice. The wrong voice would have just drove him to the bridge and said, I understand, just go and jump. You also need strength. You need strength. You know the worst vulnerable moment in your life is that when you had your strength is depleted. Think back to your life when you had no physical strength and your mind was fatigued. Look at the decisions that you made. Look, some of the worst eating to do is when you're tired. Some of the worst thinking that I've done is when my mind just needs a break because it's so overwhelmed. Elijah needed strength. Some of you sitting in this room right now, you just need strength. You need to be around good people, have you a good meal, just meditate on the love of God, the word of God. And I guarantee you, some of you, I didn't even ask you to raise your hand, you are dreading going to work tomorrow. I pray that you put on the love of God in this room, that you get strength for your journey because the journey is too much for you. And I pray that you walk in work skipping tomorrow. Yeah, what is wrong with you? Are you high? Are you drunk? What? I have the joy of the Lord, and you are not going to ruin my day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to let you make me act a fool because you want to be a fool. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. You need strength. Yes, and when you get the strength of God working on the inside of you, you will fight incredible things. One more thing is this. Do you know what else you need? You need peace. There was a scripture there in 1 Kings 19, 11, and I'll just paraphrase it for you for the sake of time. The Lord took out Elijah on a mountain, and there was an earthquake there. There was all kind of things that happened there, and it said God was not in any of that stuff. But after he got finished, he said, a still, small voice. Your thoughts that are drowning you are putting so much pressure on you. They're making you want to go do things that you don't want to do. But what God does, he doesn't scream at you. God whispers. God is just that still, small voice that calms you down. He is that voice that remains after everything else has come in your life. And when God speaks, there will be peace. There are many of you in this room right now. All you need to do is hear from God and receive his peace. He will calm you down so that you can do what he's called you to do. The last thing to get out of your head you do is this. You need a plan, you need purpose, and you need people. Verse 15 says this. The Lord said to him, after he went through all this discord, go return to the wilderness of Damascus. When you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king of Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshah, you shall anoint king over Israel. Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abim, somebody, you shall anoint as prophet in your... They just couldn't name them Ben and Kerry and Jason. They had a whole bunch of syllables. He said, you shall anoint him as prophet. Now watch this. In your place. Elisha surrendered his place. You don't have to. When you are in your own head, you will quit before your time, and you can surrender your place. Don't you stop. There's still life left in you. And then it says, Jehu shall put to death the one who escapes the sword. Or Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. You will leave 7,000 in Israel. I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Here's the first thing Elijah had. He sent him with a purpose. Do you know why you're stuck in your head? Because you don't necessarily know your purpose for being where you are. He said, Elisha, go anoint. The word anoint in this instance means to train. Go lay your hands on and go train somebody who has the potential to do something. Do you know why many of us are stuck in passion? Because you don't know how to do what you're called to do. And he said, these men are great, so I need to go raise up some other men. I need you to leave a legacy. I need you to take all that I put inside of you. And Elisha went in strength because now he had purpose. Not only did he have purpose, but he has a plan. He said, when you anoint him, when you train them up, they are going to destroy the enemy. That's the plan. Purpose, you're going to train. Plan, they're going to execute the enemy, and I am going to be glorified. You have a purpose. That's why you can't stay stuck here. You got to use this to go in a place that God wants you to be, and God's going to give you a plan for your situation. And the last thing you need is people. You are not the only one going through. Elisha said, I'm the only one. God said, there's 7,000 more who have not bowed. Do you not know that this room is full of dreamers? Do you think you are the only one that has a dream to change this world? Do you think you're the only one going through right now? Absolutely not. But what would happen if all of us who have disconnected from each other would begin to open our mouth and express what's in our heart? Can I show you what happens when you begin to open up? What would happen if we all started to pray together? What would happen if we all started to praise God together? We would see incredible things start to happen. But when you come out of your head, you understand this. I have a plan. I have a purpose. And I got people, and I'm going in the strength of the Lord to do what he's called me to do. Stand to your feet all over the building. want you to bow your head for a moment. First, I want to ask, if you're not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't know the Prince of Peace, you're not in relationship with him, I want to lead you to the Lord this morning. I'm just asking that you repeat after me. If it's your first time, welcome to the kingdom of God. But everybody repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I ask right now that you forgive me of all sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I acknowledge Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and I am saved in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to pray now, and if this is you, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hands at your seat as a sign of surrender. If you find